Hi, this is Zoe Durand, and I'm a family lawyer and mediator, and you're listening to the Inside Family Law podcast. This podcast is presented by Mediation Answers in partnership with Artwork and Lawyer Magic. Over the course of these episodes, I will take you on a 360-degree deep dive into all aspects of the family law process by talking with some of the greatest minds in family. I'm hoping that through this podcast, we can really encourage interdisciplinary conversations and perspectives that allow us to go deeper into what is really going on in the family law process, and that also make us more curious in our approaches to family law and how we do what we do every day. Hi, you're here with Zoe Durand. I'm reporting live at the Pacifica Congress Conference. We're here in Hobart, Tasmania for 2023. I'm speaking with two solicitors from a firm that sponsored Pacifica Congress, but I'll let them introduce themselves and where they're from and what they do.
I'm Jessica Strangio. As Zoe has mentioned, I am one of the solicitors at Rafton Family Lawyers. I practice solely in family law. I have been practicing for over 5 years now. It's something I really enjoy, but it also comes with its challenges. And we are here at the Pacifica Congress having a great time, learning lots about parenting matters. And we also have...
Hello, I'm Stephanie Azzi. I'm also a family lawyer at Rafton Family Lawyers. I'm also a mediator, parenting coordinator, and a conflict coach. So I'm a big supporter of dispute resolution, because it saves people so much stress and money going through litigation. So if you can resolve your dispute early on, I am a big supporter of that.
Fantastic. And just a few things. So obviously, I guess speaking on behalf of Rafton's, why Rafton's made the move to sponsor Pacifica Congress Coffee Cart? What was the appeal to Rafton's about Pacifica Congress?
So the appeal was that Pacifica Congress was all about supporting families through the dispute resolution process and sharing the knowledge with other practitioners, being lawyers and social scientists, yeah, practitioners. So we thought that we'll get into that community and really just support our services and help families, yeah, by sharing that knowledge.
And Rafton's is a big supporter of focusing on outcomes, yes, rather than, you know, getting parties into court and litigating matters. We practice in, I guess, a geographical area where we understand that parties just want to resolve their matters. Mm-hmm. It's not always about the fight and making sure, you know, I'm right and I'm wrong. So essentially, we want to make sure that we're outcome focused, and being part of Pacifica Congress, supporting their cause is really important to us. Yes. So what better way than to sponsor a coffee cart?
And coffee is essential. Everyone needs a cup of coffee in the morning to start helping focus for the day, focus on resolution for families. So it's essential.
Coffee and law have a very similar, a very connected relationship.
For sure. It's an inextricable link, isn't it?
And it's kind of actually at mediation, we're like, do we just take a coffee break and let's just let it percolate for a bit?
Let's chat about things.
It really helps people focus. What are the real issues? So it's essential.
It's been great for each morning that we've been here. I think this is our third morning here. And it's been so busy at the coffee cart to see everyone. And it gets people talking, as you said,
that's
Zoe.
Right.
It's really nice to meet people who are like-minded, meet people from different professions, but in the same sort of aspect. So as we said before, we're lawyers, but it's really good to meet experts, mediators, therapists, counsellors, and talk about the different roles that we all play.
Do you know what I think it is? You know when you go down to Silks or whatever, or there's the coffee, wherever the coffee plate, there's certain coffee hubs I know in the city where you just see a lot of lawyers, or when you're mediation, you go, let's all just go downstairs and get a coffee. Does anyone want one? There's something about it, it's kind of like the watering hole in the jungle. You know how they say no animals, like the lions will never attack
the drafts of the water.
Yeah.
And I feel like when you get that coffee, there is that sociability, that humanizing. Yeah. We don't have two heads. We're all human. We all need a cup of coffee.
For sure.
You just have a different tone.
Yes.
Yeah, it's everyone sort of leaves their differences aside outside, you know, in the real world, and here at the coffee cart, you can just have that conversation and feel and like it's almost a safe space.
That's right, and it's really good because, like, you can kind of have that informal discussion with other people and kind of pick their brain just over a coffee. Mm. So it's actually really good.
So, what would be some of your, putting you on the spot here, ladies, your key takeaways, or what were the things that you enjoyed about, I mean, I'm sure you enjoyed many things, but anything that jumps out to you that you've enjoyed, just sort of recapping now, we're coming to the last day of the conference?
I've really enjoyed listening to some of the single expert talks.
I agree.
About parenting matters, particularly how to be a good expert and what they do exactly in this litigation space, and also in a non-litigation space. It's been so eye-opening for me. And also to hear how other states practice and how they run their systems as well. So we practice in New South Wales, but it's been really good to hear what Western Australia does.
Mm-hmm.
And also Tasmania as well, what they do down here in Hobart, because it's given us ideas as to maybe can we implement that change, or can we bring those ideas to Sydney, which may not happen straight away, but it's a thought.
Yeah, it's actually really interesting seeing how people practice in different jurisdictions. So that was actually very interesting.
And now, just a couple of words about Lawyer Magic, a one-day course on the secret sauce to law practice scale-up. We demystify all the parts around being a lawyer that you actually need to know to thrive in law, but usually no one teaches you. The three pillars to Lawyer Magic are the law of attraction, being magnetic, branding, marketing, and positioning yourself as an expert, the honeymoon phase, drawing clients to you, networking, building referral chains, keeping the spark alive, keeping clients happy along the whole journey and getting paid seamlessly, but in a way that clients understand the value of your work. Nicole Evans said, Zoe and Roey were fantastic. They tailored this course around our firm and our needs. We all took away a lot of practical tips and new ideas to implement on a day-to-day basis. We believe the real magic happens by identifying what is naturally unique about you, including your special passions, and showing how to amplify and communicate this. Exhibit A, hopefully, like I'm doing in this podcast.
One other thing I found, as Jess said, like listening to experts in this conference was very interesting because we kind of saw things from a different perspective.
Yeah.
We don't really know how they're feeling when they're getting cross-examined, what they do to prepare to be cross-examined, because we're not in that position. So hearing them talk about it was actually a big eye-opener.
What they've learned.
That's right.
From cross-examinations as well.
And it's like, how can we best support an expert during cross-examination so they can give us the information, the best evidence information that the court needs?
You know, something that I found, I don't know if I should admit this because this kind of makes me look bad, but I was speaking just casually, like outside of the conference yesterday at drinks, with some of the report writers, and I was saying, how long does it take to do a report? I said, because I think a lot of lawyers have a misconception. They're like, oh, it's a day to meet them, and then like a day to write it. And they're like, no, it's a full 2 weeks. If I just do that one report. Like one of them was saying, she does literally one every 2 weeks, and it's just a full 2 weeks.
So busy.
Like the prep, though, she reads every word of the subpoenas, all the affidavit material. She calls the teachers. If someone's done a course, for example, like a men's behavioural change course, she'll actually call them. They've got a certificate that they've done it, but what are they? How were they at the course? She'll call the course coordinator and be like, how was Joe Blocks? And they'll be like, well, actually, like, he spent the whole time saying that he didn't really think this course was valuable at all, and his ex deserved whatever she got.
Yeah.
And so she literally said that she goes through every single thing, all the prep,
the
meeting.
Yeah.
She does 3 days of meetings, and then she reads, you know, and then she prepares the report, redrafts it, checks it, goes away, tests up. Like, it's a lot more work than I realized.
It is. And I think it's really important, especially knowing how much weight the court puts on expert reports.
Yeah.
It's really important that they do that work thoroughly.
Yeah, exactly. No, I completely agree. And also, when we then get into, you know, maybe a final hearing stage, or when we get to a mediation stage to try and resolve the matter, it's important to understand how an expert got to that conclusion.
Yes. A to B, well, C to D.
That's right.
What did they observe then from the observers? What did they extrapolate from that? Why? What are the recommendations? Why do they think what they think? It should be clear in the report, and I think it makes such a difference when you have those clearly structured reports versus something that's wishy-washy. You know, so I think for me, like more from the mediator perspective, when it's a clear report, it makes it so much easier to resolve it. And it gives the child, it's unclear, it can almost make more questions than answers, and it's like you've got to take it to trial. To test
it. That's right.
Someone was saying to us, and we're probably getting a little bit off topic, but it was an interesting, it was an interesting thought that, and I didn't realise that there's no regulating body for experts.
So this is a great thing to talk about. We're having our little chat of coffee. Understanding why you guys sponsor Pacific Congress, but also I want to do a bit of a recap with you both about the conference. This is perfect.
Perfect.
So, and it's a really interesting point, like that there isn't anything.
No.
Yeah. So, I mean, psychologists and psychiatrists themselves have a regulating body, but for family court reporting experts, there's no regulating body. Mm.
And then when they're doing their psychology degree, there is no subject about family law.
Yeah, that's been a common theme.
So it's kind of like, well, they just kind of get into the area.
That's
somehow,
right, and it's kind of...
The more they get known, the more they get
that's
known,
right.
and they learn kind of on the go. Which maybe in some ways is fine, but it's... And people only trust the experts that... You know, it's almost like one of those areas, it's hard to break into, but once you break into it...
That's right, yes.
Yes, that's right. That's so true. Because we have our few that we see.
That's right. You've got your like certain experts.
Yeah, but we need more. And that's why
more. Maybe if there was a more of a set criteria, that would be a way to propel more people into us.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, if there was, like, it's fine, I guess, through that sort of on-the-job process, because we do have some wonderful experts, but if there was more of a set kind of training criteria.
Yes.
I think there would be some training, but maybe there's a set kind of something that you would be like, I can trust. To give this new
or like a panel, like we have on the Law Society, I think you're on the mediators panel.
Yeah.
So if people have absolutely no idea, then there's somewhere that they can actually turn to with a list of mediators.
Yes.
That you can say, oh, well, the Law Society approves them. So so we can use you.
Yeah, and that's a concern.
Like, maybe the experts are busy for the next 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, then there's other people do it that you could turn to. So I think that's a good point as well. Anything else that really stood out for you at the conference or any sort of new ideas?
Oh, there's
anything
been,
you'll be doing
oh, there's
different?
Been, you think I'll be doing differently?
I'm so mean. I ask these impromptu questions.
No, that's okay.
I'm very interviewer. I never send people questions beforehand. I get asked that sometimes. I get asked, can you send me questions before you interview me? I'm like, no, I just want to see what you really think on the spot.
Yeah.
I think approach to understanding children's wishes and being more sort of, because this has also been a common theme, that children's wishes will be heard, and as the legislation says, it depends on a number of factors, how much weight is placed on them, but how the court and how an expert actually treats that, and how to also communicate that to clients as well. That's been something, a takeaway for me, just in terms of how you communicate that, the different ways that that can be conveyed. We've heard of judges writing letters to children and speaking to children, which
we don't really see in our jurisdiction
in New
at the
South
moment.
Wales, but in other states, that's a little bit more common, and maybe something that eventually is introduced. Yeah. I don't know, but
I found it actually interesting that in Tasmania judges actually meet with the children, and I thought that
I
was
knew
a very
judge
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So I don't really find that happening.
It's not common.
No, it's not common at all.
And it has to be, obviously.
Yeah. In the setting.
Necessary.
That's right.
Are they, some judges would be
very reluctant.
That's
some
right.
Not
yeah.
With that.
Yeah.
Know,
but at the same time, they're making decisions about that child's
so
life.
That
funny, yeah.
So and then maybe it is appropriate.
Yeah.
It's a funny one. Yeah.
And now a few words about artwork, where we bring art to your place of work. As some of you might know, away from the law, I have pursued a passion for art, exhibiting in London, Sydney, Melbourne, throughout China, and at a contemporary show in the Louvre in Paris. I'm now sharing my love of art and creativity with workplaces. I'd love to hear from you if you would be interested in team bonding art lessons, curated pieces for your office, or making your next corporate event a showstopper with a piece of art created live for your guests. I'm also interested in any of the other ideas you might have about how to inject creativity into your place of work and shake things up, hopefully in a good way. The benefit of working with me is that uniquely I am both an artist and a lawyer, so I have an understanding of the law firm corporate events context and can chew the fat with your guests about law, life, art, and my creative process whilst I create your special piece for your firm. Bronwyn O'Lone said, "This was truly an amazing experience. We keep getting comments from those that joined us on our special evening about how inspiring it was to watch you create such beautiful art. The memories will live on in the artwork, which will be hung proudly in our meeting space."
Yeah, like even, and what you were saying about other options, I remember I was speaking to, I can't remember, it was one of the report writer experts, and they were saying that they were in a matter where there was this whole controversy where Mark had allegedly attacked Dad physically or something that had been in the media. It was quite controversial, so the children were sort of already Googling it, were aware of it, the teenage children.
Yes.
And so they wrote, the judge actually wrote, all the parties sort of put together, and the judge then settled a statement or something like...
An independent truth.
Yeah, independent truth, and things like that. And he was saying, it's true, there's nothing prohibiting that, and you can certainly be as creative within the bounds of whatever the current law is.
Yes.
Which is true. Like, that's not something that is going to necessarily ever be kind of like amendments in legislation brought into place for that, but that's just something you can just do, like be proactive, come up with ideas. Someone could put that to, if there was an issue like that in their matter, they could put that, for example, to the judge, can we do this?
Mm-hmm.
The judge has the power to do something like that,
using
their discretion.
Yeah.
So
that
gives us ideas of things we can do.
Implement. That's right.
And put forward as suggestions.
Exactly.
Is it possible we could do that in this matter? Like, you know,
let's think a little bit more outside the box.
Exactly, and I think that's really important.
That's right. It's not, as you said.
And it's beneficial for the children to have
that. That's right, exactly.
They're looking it up anyway, so I thought that was really good that they've got something from the judge that's like, this is what has happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they'll get their, otherwise, their varying versions from the parents.
And they can be misinformed.
And they can feel like, oh, that's what the judge thinks.
Otherwise.
Gives it some kind of...
Exactly.
I think that's really
good. So I think there's a lot of interesting things that have come out of it in terms of, because it's so easy, I think, in your day-to-day work, and I'm, you know, we all, I think, can fall into this, I'm trying not to, but you can get into, it's so busy that you can be like conveyor belting your way.
Yes.
Things, and it's good to just pause and come to conferences like this, which
is
sponsoring.
And actually start thinking about it from a different perspective. Yeah.
And sort of just wake up and say, well, can we do something different, better? Even what needs to change in terms of legislation, but also aside from that, what are the little changes we can make within what we already
yes,
have?
Yes, that's right.
That's it. That's exactly right.
Anything else, ladies? Any key takeaways? We've covered quite a lot already.
I know. I feel like we've spoken so much about different things. Not really. I think it's been really good to catch up.
Yeah.
For me, it's been good to catch up with people from the profession who, and this is just more of a social thing, from different areas geographically. So we used to work not just in... We now work predominantly in the Parramatta sort of court space, but we used to work in Wollongong and a few other registries. So it's been really good to catch up with people. And also know that you can contact those people if you need to. We were talking about, you know, agency work well. If, you know, someone gets stuck.
Because, like, being in family law, it is quite a stressful job. So kind of having that support network around you and know that you've got another person at the other end that you can just pick up the phone and call. That's right. It's actually very comforting, and it's good to kind of have that support in that industry.
And I think these conferences do that as well. By bringing people together, you meet them, you get to know them on a personal level.
That's right.
So when and if you, when you have a matter against one another, you can just...
That can actually help with the issues. Like, it actually can be beneficial for the clients.
Yeah, that's right.
It can actually make a huge difference in a matter if the two lawyers know each other, because it means they can pick up the
and
call each other rather than getting into the war of the letters.
That's right.
And you can just move through things a lot faster.
And then I can actually say to my client, that other solicitor is very reasonable. I'm sure we can work through it.
What are we looking at doing? Okay, that's reasonable. That's not okay. Yep, let's go.
Exactly.
I'll call them. We'll see if we can sort something out.
You know,
even at that unofficial, like, things can happen at a gesture, like at that unofficial level. Like, there is mediation, of course. I'm always promoting that because I'm a mediator, but it's not always just about going to mediation. Sometimes it is just picking up the phone to your other practitioner and being able to sort some smaller things out, sometimes even bigger things out.
Yes. Because, like, you know, that's sometimes right. exchanging letters can just end up in a war, and it just makes the issue worse than it actually is. So sometimes just picking up the phone, be like, hey, this is the issue. What can we do to resolve it? And these are my suggestions.
It can save so much money for that's clients right. as well. Let's be honest. Yeah. It's lawyers are not cheap.
That's right.
Experts are not cheap. Mediators are not cheap. And
it's a bit of that social glue that it happens, you know, kind of among colleagues, collegiality, that mm-hmm. can really cut through a matter for a client.
Yes.
Which links back into, I guess, why we're so grateful that you have sponsored the coffee cup, and which is that kind of core metaphor, I think, for sociability
yeah.
at
yeah.
the conference.
Oh, it's been great to see everyone get together.
Oh, it really has.
And chat over a coffee in the morning or in the afternoon even.
Yeah.
So it's been really
We should, maybe we should have like a coffee cup, and I hope I don't get in trouble for saying this, like the one on each floor of the court.
Oh, I would love that.
I think you could melt them. I think it could actually solve a lot of some problems.
Yes.
And be like, let's get a cup of coffee.
And we'll talk over a coffee. That's mm-hmm. right. Yep.
And if you're going to give something people something to focus on, like, what kind of coffee do you like? I like chai latte, I like this, like, it's what I like. Anyway, thank you very much, ladies.
Thank you so much for having
us.
Thank
you, Zoe. We appreciate it.
I'm looking forward to next year's conference.
Yeah, hopefully you guys will be sponsoring again.
Yes, I'm sure we will be. Thanks, Zoe. Okay,
thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Inside Family Law. I hope you got a lot out of it and that it has sparked a lot of questions and conversations that you'll keep having with your colleagues in the area. If you do want to stay connected with me, then please reach out on LinkedIn. You can find me, I'm Zoe Duran, or you can reach me on Instagram at Mediation Answers. My website is www.mediationanswers.com.au. If you have any fabulous ideas for a podcast interview, then please be in touch with me. Also, if you would like me to cover your family law conference, for example, or any other conference or event, I'm more than happy to discuss if this would work, so please also do reach out. Thanks very much, and I hope you listen in next time.